Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, I'm going to ask you to hold your calls. We do welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line one of our supporters and good friends, Bill Sardi, and we're going to be talking about something that will be sound a little strange to many of you. When I went through medical school, it was, of course, between 1948 and 1952, and then we took our internship. And certainly in every medical school class in those days, at least one or possibly two people contracted tuberculosis. It was just one of the risks of going to medical school. Of course, you took off a year, got your immune system back up, and of course, then you went on with your life. But of course, tuberculosis was, at those days, we used to have sanitariums. Those sanitariums are long since gone now with the new antibiotics that we have. And to most people, the thought of tuberculosis is just something that's faded into the background. And yet, of course, we've seen a resurgence of tuberculosis, even aviary tuberculosis, in other words, the type of tuberculosis that birds get, in homosexuals or anybody else, for that matter, who has the AIDS condition, the acquired immunodeficiency disease, because if you don't have an adequate immune system, why, you become susceptible to all sorts of disease, specifically to tuberculosis. Now, one other thing that's very applicable to what we're going to be talking about, it was a meeting I attended perhaps 3 or 4 months ago, where they had officials from the agricultural department, and the issue of mad cow disease came up. And I raised the question, well, why not test every cow for mad cow disease? The Japanese at that time were asking that any meat that was going to be sent over there be tested for mad cow disease. And there was an exporter who had been doing a great deal of business with Japan, and he wanted to test every cow for mad cow disease. And he was told he could not test every cow for mad cow disease. The federal administration, Agriculture Administration, would not allow him to test every cow for mad cow disease. And so I talked to this gentleman from the agricultural department, and I said, why don't we go ahead and test every cow just so we'd really know how many cases there really were? I mean, you're not testing them. How do you know whether it's here or not? Oh, he said, we might get false positives. Well, I mean, if you got false positives, you'd repeat the test a couple of times to find out if it was really positive or not. I mean, that's the excuse that they used for not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. We might get false positives. And then he said, if we got false positives or we began to find mad cow disease, think what that would do to the meat industry. And as I looked at him, I thought to myself, but what about all the people who might be getting the disease if you don't test, if you don't do what's logical? And, well, with that as the background, our guest this evening, Bill Sardi. Bill, why don't you pick up this incredible story, these recent publications in the Journal of Neurology, a peer-reviewed medical journal, that has raised some very serious questions about the presence of tuberculosis in our livestock in America today that is not being brought out by the control media.
Well, it's the horror of horrors. It's the unthinkable. It's something that would make every American take a step back. Is it for real? The Journal of Neurology is giving us half of the story, enough to say that it is real. And that's the question. Are we getting brain disease from our food supply? And people have worried about milk and meat and worried about contamination to mad cow. Now we have a study.
Go right ahead, Bill.
Now we have a study, Journal of Neurology. It's among middle-aged males in Hawaii. It's an authoritative study, and it's a puzzling piece of of scientific literature that maybe finally links where we're really going and what we've really been facing here. The consumption of milk in midlife and the future risk of Parkinson's disease. And they notice that men in middle life have about a 2 to 2.3 increased risk, 230% increased risk of Parkinson's disease if they are milk drinkers, if they drink a lot of milk, like 16 ounces a day or more, versus men who drink no milk whatsoever. Now, this is a landmark study because it's finally telling us something, and as the researchers report here, they're not sure what's in the milk. It's not the calcium. It's not the hormones. They're not sure what it is, but it's some sort of a toxin. Now, we've had, of course, for a number of years now, the people with Crohn's disease trying to tell us that our milk is contaminated with something called paratuberculosis. Should you be listening to this? Your children are drinking the milk. Your grandchildren are drinking the milk. And it's contaminated with paratuberculosis. The latest samples I have here, Journal of Dairy Science 2002, 15% of the retail milk samples had positive for paratuberculosis.
Now, how does paratuberculosis differ from a regular tuberculosis? Would it be more like an aviary tuberculosis?
Right. Most of us are used to tuberculosis being a lung infection. Many of the immigrants are bringing it here. People traveling from other countries bring it here. The world is infected with tuberculosis. In fact, 2 billion of the world's 6 billion population has TB. Most of that is a lung infection, which we're familiar with, but we're never told that the tubercule, the mycobacterium, can get into really any organ of our body. And now they're showing in the last 2 years it certainly can get into the digestive tract, and a little over 500,000 Americans now have this terrible inflammatory bowel disease we call Crohn's disease. Some of them are having their digestive tract surgically removed because of the tremendous inflammation and so on, facing cancer down the line and all this. And in the last 2 years, they noticed a similar disease called Yoni's disease that animals have, but they never linked it to humans till the last 2 years. Now they realize it's paratuberculosis.
Well, that's all right for a moment. So what you're basically saying is that many of the animals will have a tuberculosis lesion within their intestine. But is there any pathological proof or documentation that some of the people with Crohn's disease actually have a paratuberculosis type of infection?
Yes, that's an infectious
disease.
That's been confirmed now in numerous studies. And, in fact, these people that have been affected have been lobbying the dairy industry, the U.S. government, the Department of Agriculture. They tried to eradicate the tuberculosis bacterium from the dairy herds. 40% of our cattle herds are infected with paratuberculosis. It comes from iron-rich soil where the tubercule can survive. And, of course, then the cows and the dairy cows are getting it. The meat steers and so on are getting this because we've stopped feeding our animals from grass, and we now feed them grain. And this makes the digestive tract of the animal more alkaline rather than acid. An acidic digestive tract will kill all this off. So now we see E. coli in the meat supply. We see salmonella and now paratuberculosis. And it's all because we're not following a biblical principle, which is to feed the animals grass. And, of course, from this, we now have a high bacterial count, and we're blaming the consumer for not cooking his meat long enough. Or in this case, it's got to be the milk, because you see, they really pasteurize milk at about 161 degrees for 15 seconds. That's all it really gets. So it's possible, of all things, paratuberculosis, a mycobacterium, is heat resistant. And once it gets in your body, it is a stealth bacterium. It doesn't alert the immune system to come out and fight it. It doesn't have a backbone. It gets inside of little immune fighting cells called macrophages, makes them alkaline instead of acid, and then it takes up residence there and really can reside in your body for years and years and decades before it raises its ugly head. It's very slow growing. It may, in this case, what it looks like, Journal of Neurology, get inside your brain. And when your immune system goes down, like these males in middle age, you know, a group of males in Hawaii that were tested, men are iron overloaded by middle age, and their immune system goes down. And, of course, then they begin to have the brain symptoms and problems. And now we're seeing this whole ugly thing taking place. As one quote says, the dairy industry knows what kind of time bomb they're sitting on. An article in Milk Science International entitled, Is Mycobacterium Paratuberculosis a Possible Agent in Crohn's Disease? Warns that the present state of knowledge is potentially catastrophic for the dairy industry. It is now, because Americans probably wouldn't pay much attention over Crohn's disease. But you just say four or five people have come down with brain disease, and you are going to have people spitting milk right out of their mouth. Your children are getting this, and they're getting Crohn's disease at a young age. This could be prevented. They don't want to face up to the problem. They're feeding the animals improperly. Paratuberculosis is a very rotten kind of mycobacterium. And how they discovered this really was they began treating the Crohn's disease patients with the same antibiotics they used to treat tuberculosis. And sure enough, it remedied a number of cases of Crohn's disease. As we look around the world, the Hindus in India have a much lower incidence of Crohn's disease, again, because they are not eating meat and milk and so on. So the opportunity to clean all this up came to Congress in the year 2001. $1.3 billion could have eradicated this from our animal herds, but of course you have to use antibiotics, and they're trying to stop the antibiotic resistance by cutting back on the use of antibiotics in animals. So it's an inevitable thing, and of course now we're seeing this 230% increased risk for Parkinson's disease among the males who are milk drinkers. And so everyone understands the milk cartons used to have on the side tested for TB, but the USDA now refuses to test retail shelf samples of milk. It's in there, but they refuse to test it. If you want a TB skin test to see if you've ever been exposed to TB, it doesn't tell you you have it. Maybe it may say that, or just that you've been exposed to it in the past, but they've watered down the TB skin test so it won't detect anything but the most overt cases of lung infection. So you may have TB, a latent case. It may be on board, and you would never detect it through a TB skin test. TB has killed over 1 billion people in the last 100 years. There's good reason why they might let this continue on. About 5% of TB-exposed people develop the active disease, and 5 to 10% develop it later in life. And if we get enough selenium, vitamin D, vitamin C, will increase our immunity, and we see that people who get enough of these special nutrients improve their immune system to the point where they can fight the onboard TB. And where do we find TB? Of course, in prisons and places like that where they use drugs or do something to, of course, stunt their immune system. So it's on board. These people had it already. It's just waiting for you to do something to bring down your immune system. That's why the elderly get this. There's some people that think that this is even the cause of most of the cases of cancer in the world. It may be a cause of irritable bowel where people have a recurrent diarrhea all the time. That's going to require more research. Here's a study done here, in Michigan, and they found 55% of the cattle herds had paratuberculosis. So, you see, it's in our cattle herds. It's getting in the milk supply. They're not testing the milk on the shelves. They're not telling us what's happening. Our children are getting this. By the way, for people that do have Crohn's disease, almost every doctor forgets to tell his patients that if you take fish oil, the disease may go into remission for quite a few years. The reason is fish oil increases oxidation, and the bugs can't survive very well in the digestive tract, and it kills them off faster. It works almost like an antibiotic. So for many people. They're never even told. They're put on the antibiotics, then they develop antibiotic resistance, and then yeast overgrows, and now they have recurrent candida infections. And if you're more concerned about this, you may want to start putting things like fresh garlic and oregano oil into your supplement regimen and so on, because the germ theory of disease is alive and well, and we're learning it here tonight with the startling story that now, for the first time, we see something as a common food supply related to a brain disease. And it's not exactly mad cow as we think of Alzheimer's. It's Parkinson's disease, but it means that bugs are getting in the brain from the food supply.
Now, did they actually find evidence in the brains of the autopsy of some of them? How
yes, they actually have. You know, way back in the 1930s, they had five children who came down with a brain disease related to milk drinking, and they couldn't make sense of it at the time. So this is they've had this, inklings of this for some time. So these were young children. The Paratuberculosis Awareness and Research Association, a number of people have been affected by this, have formed their own little group, and of course they presented scientific findings showing that this has been found as a contaminated organism in the milk supplies and has been found also in the gut of the people who have Crohn's disease. So once they were able to confirm those two things and the fact that they see a lot of remissions now among people who take the very same antibiotics that are used to treat tuberculosis, well, now we see that this is, we have contaminated milk supply. Our problem is we can't face up to these things when they're going to affect our economy and jobs. We just can't seem to face up to it. Japan knows that we're not really being forthcoming about our food supply. They refused, last week they refused to take on our meat supply again. $1.3 billion of sales of U.S. meat has been stopped by Japan for over a year. They had negotiations to resume this. Japan does not believe we're telling the truth when we say that we have no mad cow in our, cattle herds and so on.
Well, I think what's so interesting, though, is they're doing everything they can to avoid a widespread testing. I mean, this is what is really needed to know. And the response is, oh, we might get a false positive. Well, that, of course, is simply a sophistic type of argument. You want to find out what the situation is, and every barrier is being put in the way. And this is really what was so amazing to me, talking to a high official at the Agricultural Department, to realize that they really are frightened to death of what they might find. And I think the same thing is true as far as the testing of the milk is concerned. And when you begin having these health-related issues determined by the finances rather than by what's necessary for the health, and it's not that, you know, we need to do away with the cows. There are ways to treat this. There's ways for people to build up their immune system. But rather than clean up the dairy herds and do away with the problem, why they think that if they ignore it, if you sweep it under the rug, everything's going to be fine. And we're finding, as you point out, that Japan is not taking our meat. That, in fact, if we would simply test the cows, we would make enough money, really, that we're talking about, what, $1.3 billion. We're losing that every year as far as not being able to export to Japan. But I really believe that there is a tremendous fear on the parts of the people in government of what they might find if they did the widespread testing. And after all, if you don't test, you don't find it. So we can say with a fixed smile, why, there's nothing to worry about. We are not finding any mad cow disease, and that's because we're not looking for it.
Now,
go right ahead.
Yep. We're going to find now that if you're looking for milk, you are a milk drinker and you want to drink milk. Certainly don't do it if you have Crohn's disease. I'd highly recommend you stay away from it. But look for ultra-pasteurized milk. There is one brand out in the stores. Horizon makes this and it's distributed all over the country. And it's sterilized at 280 degrees. So
I'm going to be back in just a moment here with our good friend Bill Sardi. And we're going to welcome your calls from out across America. At 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bill sent me a packet almost a half an inch thick of all of these various studies. I wonder why we're not hearing about this for the major media. Could it be that the people who control the media don't want you to know? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we raised the question, why is it that we're not hearing about this through regular channels? And of course this is why we do what we do, and why we look to people like Bill, who really does a tremendous amount of research. And this is not one article, it's a whole series of articles by people within the medical community who are working in here and are really very, very concerned about it. And yet, really this is being pretty effectively blocked out by the mass media in the United States, isn't it?
Well, certainly, I think the economic consequences are just too great to even address the issue, and that is the great problem we have. So we're just ill-informed consumers. If somebody doesn't break ranks and tell you, I know you want to hear this on CNN, Fox News, CBS, to really believe it's authoritative. Believe me, some reputable journalists have covered this in newspapers in local areas over the last 2 or 3 years. But it's never made it to the national headline area, and of course you can see, therefore, somebody has stepped on this story, made sure that it never really got the major public attention, which would then cause, of course, the world to reject billions of dollars of U.S. agricultural goods because of possible contamination. Of course, throw us into an economic tizzy, ruin jobs for lots of people. But it's ruining the lives of so many people because we won't face up to this problem. And, of course, it's terrible. It needs to be dealt with. And, of course, how long we're going to let this go on, I don't know.
Well, somebody just called in, didn't want to go on the line, but they wanted to know about dried milk, first of all. Would this be a problem with dried milk?
Not with the dried milk, because obviously the bacterium has to live in some way, and it needs iron and it needs moisture and so on, so there's nothing for it to live there. And, of course, if you're using things like so many of the yogurts, they're all boiled. Your tapioca pudding is boiled, those kind of things. So those are good sources of dairy products. There's a liquid yogurt. So you understand these are all made to near boiling and, of course, for extended periods of time. So you wouldn't have this kind of a problem. But I would be very concerned about young children and so on getting this, certainly older people. And certainly anybody has any of this already, maybe some of you have heard about it already that are suffering with the problems. But I certainly would hate to have Crohn's disease strike anybody, and we tend to look at this for the last few years, scratch our heads. We wondered why it was occurring. All along, they knew. They knew it was coming from the milk, and of course, they let these hundreds of thousands of people develop this terrible disease. It's going to be a lifelong suffering disease, because most of the time, the doctors were unsure of what it was. They weren't treating it with the antibiotics, and not everybody goes into complete remission, even when you treat it.
But, of course, at least there are treatments for it if this is an infectious condition.
Absolutely.
And, of course, for our listeners, this sort of goes right along with what we've been talking about, autism. Many of the children with autism have a colitis, autistic colitis, and children have a severe diarrhea, which is related to a measles viral infection of the gut. Now, that is an entirely different thing, but infectious disease can, of course, infect the intestinal tract and create, of course, chronic diarrhea. And these kids are miserable, but then the people who would have the paratuberculosis would be the same thing. The only trouble is that the treatment many times can even be surgical, but drastic surgery, and once you've had part of your intestine taken out, why, you're never quite the same again. So we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Bill Zardy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've been talking with Bill about the problem that is inherent with this chronic infection within the intestinal wall. And, of course, Crohn's disease is primarily involves the distal ileum, the distal small intestine, and of course, perhaps occasionally the proximal part of the large intestine, but usually the distal part of the small intestine, and just chronic incessant diarrhea. And when you're talking about 500,000 Americans with this condition, if there is a possibility that some of these people could be treated and treated effectively with antibiotics, certainly this would be the way to go. And yet you find an organized, orchestrated effort on the part of the people at the CDC and in government saying, oh, we've got to get away from antibiotics. We're using altogether too much antibiotics. Well, antibiotics is one of the great advantages of modern times. And, you know, there's certain, perhaps sometimes you shouldn't be using them, but other times you should. We hear a lot about drug-resistant bacteria now, and of course, nobody wants to mention that one reason we have so many drug-resistant bacteria is because we've allowed the AIDS epidemic to spread so diffusely throughout our society. We know how to stop sexually transmitted diseases. We could have stopped this back in 1986, 1987, when we had the blood test. They specifically didn't. Well, then, as you get more and more people with an altered immune system, every one of those people who has a deficient immune system becomes a breeding house for drug-resistant bacteria that can affect you. But the government is never going to admit that. 500,000 people have died of this unnecessary disease. Half of them have been homosexuals. The other half, predominantly in the black community. This disease has a predilection for blacks. Another 1 million Americans are infected in an unnecessary epidemic. If you haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, you need to get it. But you need to understand the one reason we have so many drug-resistant bacteria is because we have created so many incubators for these bacteria to grow in. And, of course, you can give them antibiotics, but if there's not a normal immune system, these organisms many times will mutate, and then, of course, they can infect somebody else. And nobody ever wants to mention that. Oh, my goodness, how dare you ever be critical of anybody who has this disease? I'm not criticizing them. I'm criticizing the public health officials who knew how to stop this disease. I know they did, because they came to me many times at meetings and say, very quietly to one side, "Stan, we know what you're saying is right, but we can't speak out publicly and support using standard public health techniques to stop this epidemic." And so the disease killed 500,000 Americans. And the U.S. Public Health Service and the people of the CDC are primarily responsible for that total dereliction of duty. And now we carry this on over into this new condition. Are they doing anything at all with the U.S. Public Health Service or the CDC or the NIH to address this, or are they simply sweeping it under the rug?
Well, they're sweeping it under the rug. And let me give you a conversation that we found online here. This is the U.S. Animal Health Association, and they wrote a resolution. U.S. Animal Health Association urges the U.S. Department of Agriculture to fund multiple independent investigations by laboratories experienced in the cultivation of paratuberculosis using the most sensitive detection methods possible to determine if live paratuberculosis can be detected in retail milk. Now, that was the resolution. This was at the U.S. Animal Health Association. Then there was lively debate about whether they should accept this resolution. One doctor there said if we vote for this against this resolution, the consumer will interpret it as a cover-up. Another man said if we vote in favor of the resolution, then the consumer finds out we're testing the milk, they might panic and assume something's wrong with the milk. And then another official said the FDA has already stated their position. They're confident that pasteurized milk is safe. We don't need to test retail milk. For which then, finally, one man stood up and said, with all due respect, sir, if milk is as safe as you say it is, then retail testing will simply confirm that fact. Are you afraid of retail milk testing because you're afraid of what you might find? The resolution was voted down by an overwhelming majority.
And I think that is just exactly the reason that they're not doing widespread testing for the mad cow disease. They're afraid of what they might find. And ladies and gentlemen, none of this makes sense unless you understand that there really are other forces out here that are working our society that I fear are going to bring not only this, but much more disease to our society. Well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes here with our good friend Bill Sardi. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bill, is this material up on your website yet?
It will be soon. We're writing the report now, and it will be up on my website at AskBillSardi.com.
That's AskBillSardi.com. Let me suggest that you go there. You get Bill's information. You'll find it fascinating, and then, of course, you'll want to know about some of the things that he does offer, the ways of getting the vitamins and minerals and fish oils and the other things that you need. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I think we'll just hold off until we get all of our audience back, because right now, of course, the only people who are listening are local, and then, of course, on our internet broadcast across America. But right now, of course, we'll sort of hold off on talking about other various things that people should be doing. Now, of course, what percentage of people? You say that about two and a half times as many people develop Parkinson's disease in the milk drinkers as the non-milk drinkers.
Right. If they're having 16 ounces of milk a day or more, now there's certain people that would be naturally protected, because there's some people, Italians, blacks, and so on, that don't drink much milk due to lactose intolerance. So they might naturally just be avoiding this. But there are others, and of course we see a lot of this in areas where the dairy states and so on. Here, there's a report here in Scotland about an increased rate of TB, and they can't put it together. But, of course, Scotland, they drink lots of milk. So these Scandinavian countries and so on have lots of milk drinking. So we see these. We just haven't been able to put this together till now. The Crohn's disease groups are certainly helping all of humanity. The problem is they're only a half million. Everybody's kind of puzzled about what's Crohn's disease. It doesn't get the attention that other things do. And we're all worried about mad cow. So I have a feeling that now that this report is out in the Journal of Urology linking milk drinking with a brain disease, Parkinson's disease, that this is going to split the whole thing wide open. They're going to see that it's an infectious disease. The toxin is infectious. It's a mycobacterium. It's paratuberculosis. And this is going to break the whole thing wide open. And of course, will people protect their jobs to, well, expose your family to germs that might even kill you later on in life and certainly infect your young children? Well, apparently they will. We need morally strong people who are able to face up to these things. We need leaders who are willing to help people along so industries aren't harmed and they can clean these problems up and we have clean food, pure water, and certainly access to natural medicines that aren't expensive, so we can keep ourselves healthy at home. All the things that build our immune system, which are the big TB fighters, selenium, a trace mineral, vitamin D, and vitamin C, those are the three big weapons. You want to make sure you get plenty of those. If you want to know more about this, go to survivalvitamins.com, survivalvitamins.com, download the free survival nutrition guide. It's 11 pages, and I said it's F-R-E-E. It's not selling you anything there. But it will lead you, if some of you are trying to find sources.
Hold that thought right there, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bill was just saying that if you would like to know how to build up your immune system, and whether we're talking about the paratuberculosis, whether we're talking about the potential of a nuclear attack, whether we're talking about a biological attack, or the threat of influenza, or the mycoplasm. If right now there's so many people here in the area where I'm living have come down with just a terrible cold, and it seems to be hanging on. I was told today that classes at the local junior college have been canceled, some of them because there were so many people who were ill. Well, certainly, if you take the things to build up your immune system, it doesn't say you're not necessarily going to come down with it, but you'll get over these conditions ever so much more quickly. So we do hope that many of you will go to
survivalvitamins.com. There's a free nutrition guide there, 11 pages. There's no commercials there. On that guide, print it out, use it. If you're unable to print these things out, get your pencil handy here. Dial 1-800-247-5731, 1-800-247-5731. Leave your name and address, just tell them you want the Survival Nutrition Guide, and they'll mail it to you. So if you're trying to find vitamin C and selenium and vitamin D, and you've got two nickels to rub together and you need to find economical sources, but good quality, and you can find these things at survivalvitamins.com. They'll lead you to economical sources. So many people don't understand that high quality vitamin C, $3 a month for 2,500 milligrams a day, fish oil for $4 a month. These have all been screen products that we've found for people if they can't find them locally and economically. So we're trying to tell people about it. So get the Survival Vitamins Guide. Certainly get these nutrients in your system as food supplements. Have them handy for you and your children. You have many local sources of this, stores in your area. If you don't find them, then fine, we can help you find them economically. And for many homeschooling families, people with large numbers of children or others that are on limited incomes, they might want to take advantage of the survivalvitamins.com as a way of, for you to acquire vitamins very inexpensively, and they're high quality. So just trying to help everyone, but the important part is the information, because then you can run down to the drugstore or health food store and get these things. Remember now, your diet won't sufficiently keep you and your immune system strong. You need a few of these supplements. They're not expensive. Selenium will keep you from getting the most virulent form of the flu, so you won't have the lung disease that, of course, then causes the problems of mortality. So you might get the flu, but you're going to have it fewer number of days, and you're not going to get the virulent form that leads to a high mortality rate. So this is so important, especially for our retirees and others. And so we have a almost 11-month-old baby at home. We give him vitamin C every day, 20 milligrams per pound of body weight. You should be doing this with your children or grandchildren, putting it in their drinks. And, of course, we give him a teaspoon of fish oil every day. This little 11-month-old is now 31.5 inches tall, 25 pounds, 90th percentile in height and weight, and has not had a rash, has not had any cold or flu, nothing, zero. So, you know, children can remain healthy if you'll help them out. So we just have been misled about so many of these things. So it's very, very important that you keep your children healthy. If they do get this, they'll build up immunity, but you want to cut down some of the days of sickness and so on in the family and so on. So you use these judiciously, and when they're not expensive, now we've given you a reason to do this in every family. Every adult should be doing this. Every older adult should be doing this, because your immune system is weakened as you get older. And now we see, by tonight's story talking about paratuberculosis, that this ugly, ugly bacterium gets into the human system through animals. And we may be infected already. A TB skin test may not detect it. We may have it on board, and it's going to wait latently and surface many years later when your immune system is down. So, and also other good things to learn about, natural antibiotics, like crushed garlic, which is, they call it a poor man's penicillin, but it really, there's nothing that it can't kill. And it does not develop antibiotic resistance. Oil of oregano, you can find information about that at the survivalvitamins.com website. If you want to find out more information just about health in general, good nutrition, dietary supplements, everything from autism to blood pressure, go to my website, askbillsardi.com. Load down all the reports you want. We try to get as many to you there as free as possible.
Well, then we've got Jack calling in from Michigan. We've got another couple of people. We've got Ed from Utica, New York. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jack, do you have a question for Bill?
Yes. Bill, have you ever come across any data regarding the molecular size of bovine milk versus goat milk relative to digestibility and intolerance? Because I think I read an article that the goat milk, being of a nearly identical molecular size to human milk, was much more easily digested.
Let's get a response to that, Bill.
I don't know about the molecular weights and so on, but I do believe that goat milk is more easily digested. The problem that we have is so many people say, Bill, why don't you tell us more about, you know, goat's milk or something for our babies, so we don't have to have, again, it's animal milk, so you could get infected. It depends on how those animals are raised, whether they're raised on grass or they're grain-fed. So, but again, we don't have enough goat's milk to feed all the babies in the world, so I can't get on the air and tell everybody to do this because we don't have enough of it. But, and so many people have an aversion to soy milk. We have to feed the world's babies somehow. And when we don't have enough cows, and mom is dried up and can't deliver mother's milk, we have to rely on something to feed the baby. So soy is inexpensive and available. I know we all want something. There is whey powder for children, and you can get it for formula, and you might look into that on the internet and so on. There, because of children develop allergies and so on, and so you can get whey milk, which is made from the milk, the solids they use to make cheese, you see. But that's something that's heated up and curdled and wouldn't have any infectious bacteria in it. So the point is that we're trying to find things that don't excite allergy and so on. It's just, can we find it inexpensively, and can we find it where it's abundantly available? And, of course, that's our problem. Probably goat's milk is a good alternative, but, again, you have to ask and find out where they raise the animals. And for many of you trying to find meat that is not hormonized and not subject to pesticides and all of this contamination, there are people that raise animals for meat that are grass-fed, just like the Bible says, and you can find a whole list of those on the internet at eatwild.com, eatwild.com. So you can go there, find out. Many people order that frozen, bring it in, put it in a freezer in their garage, and they've got the grass-fed meat on hand, which, by the way, the bacteria count is extremely low, if at all, in any of those animals. So we don't eat sterile food. The point is our own gut, our own acidic stomach, will take care of most of what we throw in there, except when we get very high bacterial counts, like we're apparently getting out of some of the milk supply, and then we can't handle it, and it takes up residence, and then we're in trouble.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Jack?
Yes, quickly. The doxycycline, purportedly, I heard this caller who had a mad cow diagnosis, or the markers for mad cow, and the doxycycline, she said, just totally eradicated it within 2 weeks.
Sure, and this is starting to tell you that they're hiding the fact they know this is part of the germ theory disease. These brain diseases are being transferred from animals, animal products, to humans. And once people get this, the dairy people, the people handling the meat supplies in our country, if they don't wake up, they're going to lose all of their business. This is going to get out of the barn. People are going to learn about it, and then what? So they better face up to it now.
Thanks very much, Jack. And let's go to Ed calling from Utica, New York. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. It's always great to hear Bill Sullivan.
Yeah, right.
He's such a good source of information.
Well, we try to get him on at least once a month here, and of course he's on all of our stations, so that actually we have him with us three times a month.
Yes, I have been using Longevinex, and I find that it seems to do the job to control my cholesterol.
Is it helping you?
Well, it seems to be my cholesterol was around 150, my total cholesterol.
Well, what was it before you took the Longevinex?
Well, actually, I was on a statin drug.
Okay.
And it was about that. But I got off the statin drug and got into Longevinex.
Okay, very good. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. Do you have a question for our guest?
Right, a couple or three. Actually, I was wondering if what he thought about using yogurt in place of milk.
Yeah, they've got these liquid yogurts and things now, and so, and there's some of them that don't have all the sugars and fruits and things in it. Even Trader Joe's has a Mediterranean yogurt, I find, that without all the sugars, and you can add things as you like, but try and get them made the way you would home make your own yogurt. I mean, many of these people from the Middle East do this at home, so try to find some place that does this if you're not going to make your own yogurt, so that you don't have all of these other sugars and things added, because that's what then grows candida, yeast infection, or these other things. Yogurt isn't a good source of the acidophilus bacteria, because they kill it during the heating. And so if you want acidophilus, go to the health food store and add that in as a little powder to your yogurt. But this is just something that I think you can do. And as for me, I haven't been a milk drinker since I've been about 16 years old. So if you stop drinking milk, you will develop lactose intolerance because you stop making the enzyme. So they mistake everybody that certain population groups have a propensity to this. Well, they may, but in reality, everyone will become lactose intolerant if they stop drinking it. And if you slowly reintroduce it, you'll start making the enzyme again. But I think the body's trying to tell you, look, we should have been weaned away from milk a long time ago, because the body shuts that all off. After we're off mother's milk, I wonder if we should have ever been on all this milk like they pushed at us. There are other good sources of calcium for our bones.
And the other thing is, of course, when you're going to have your yogurt, always look and see what's in it. And delicious yogurt with aspartame in it. So, you're getting something healthy, and then they're putting a NutraSweet product in there that produces all sorts of complications. So always read the labels. You've got to start learning to read the labels, or they're going to get you all sorts of things that are terrible for you. Anything else you wanted to ask, Ed?
I always eat just plain yogurt anyway.
Okay, fine.
But one question, is there a difference between ester C and regular vitamin C?
Okay, regular ascorbic acid is exactly what we just said it is, vitamin C as acid. Now, some of you need it buffered, or that is, in a mineral ascorbate, that it has alkaline minerals, and that's your ester C. So if the acid foods and things bother you, then you want to use the ester C, or what we call buffered C. And that's just the difference, but I'm telling you, if you can handle it, vitamin C powder is very cheap. You can get it, and it costs less than $3 a month if you want to take 2,500 milligrams a day. So, it's just incredible. Just people don't understand it. The stores don't sell it because they don't make any money off of it, but we're trying to tell you sources where you can go get this. Everybody can get armed and have all this stuff on hand.
That's survivalvitamins.com. Hey, thanks very much, Ed.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate your call. And let's just talk a little bit about Longevinix, because I know that's something that you've played a part in the development of at least the packaging of this, because so many of the resveratrol products, in other words, the active ingredient in red wine, is deactivated once it's sitting on the shelf. You've got to keep it in a airless or in a nitrogen atmosphere. So why don't you tell our listeners?
Well, I'm not allowed to say in print what I'm going to say now, because it'll disappear into the air. But theoretically, what we find is there are molecules that are, well, what can we say, magical in red wine. We've known about it. Now, the trick is, can we get this in a pill without the alcohol, calories, and the sulfite preservatives? It's been done. Those molecules, when they use them in the laboratory, are, well, they call it research-grade red wine molecules, and they pack them in a little vial and keep them from the light and the air, and they keep them in the refrigerator. Well, that's exactly what we've done with Longevinix. It's a red wine pill, airtight, just like a wine bottle or just like the research-grade resveratrol in the lab, and, of course, kept from the air and light and so on, and found to be the first red wine pill to exert the biological activity they're looking for. Now, many of your listeners hear this, and theoretically, this pill would be replacing all the antibiotics. Yes, it has antibiotic action. With only a few milligrams, it would replace blood pressure pills and cholesterol pills and pills for diabetes and so on. So most of the things that we know as medicines would be replaced by red wine. And so now we can get it without the drawbacks of the alcohol and calories. It's called Longevinix. You can go to longevinix.com, Longevinix.com, or 866-405-4000. I played a role in helping develop that product. Many of your listeners are now taking it and know the benefits of it. And
give that telephone number once again, Bill.
866-405-4000. They'll send you free information. They'll help you order it, anything you want. So, and, of course, we're just trying to help your audience the most, and I'll reveal to your audience, hey, we're a big supporter of Radio Liberty. We put up, well, great big donations to make sure that, you know, Dr. Stan stays on the air. And, frankly, we don't need to come on selling anything. We just want to come on and make sure that you get good, healthy information, and Radio Liberty stays vibrant on the air and keeps bringing you some healthy information that you can benefit from, and that won't rob your pocketbook or all these other things. And of course, we want you to support Radio Liberty more than ever now, because you can understand, with all of these challenges in the world, is that we need to keep this information out there so many people can benefit from it.
And really, there's so much out there that the public is not getting. I mean, the scam of the COX-2 inhibitors, which were released, the Vioxx, Celebrex, Bextra, and then, of course, the statin drugs that work to lower the cholesterol by poisoning the liver. Ordinarily, the liver wants to turn out cholesterol. And what they want, really, of course, when I went to medical school, why, you could have a cholesterol up to 280 was normal. When I was practicing, it was 230, but you couldn't sell very much in the way of statin drugs if you let that as the normal level. So they came up with all sorts of studies to prove that if you didn't take their products, you were going to die. And, you know, but if you look at those studies and you look at them very carefully, and, you know, the old saying that figures don't lie, but liars can certainly figure, then you can juggle figures around and make them say whatever you want to. And right now, I don't know, 10, 12 million Americans are taking the statin drugs, and they'd like to get about 50% of the people on them, and I feel that they're going to do far more harm than good. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're here with Bill Sardi, just wrapping up the program, and we've got Nelson calling from Spokane. Hi, Nelson. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. I enjoy your show a lot. I think you're great. And I just wanted, you were just talking about yogurt, and you reminded me that I used to eat some of the light yogurts and stuff, and finally I just said no more of that. And I went on a website of, and I think you had a guest on one time, Sweet Poison.
Right,
.com. And I read about saccharin, and it said that saccharin was a type of stevia, and I've had stevia before, and I know that's like an herbal.
Yeah, but I don't think that,
saccharin is not stevia.
No,
but it said that it was similar to stevia.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. Stevia is just a natural little plant that makes a little white powder. It's totally non-caloric, and it's a nice sweetener, and it's not like saccharin. But it is a non-caloric sweetener. They're both non-caloric.
And how about, what do you think of saccharin, Bill?
Yeah. Well, saccharin probably of all the sweeteners we've had come down the line, it's probably better. I don't like any of these, and I think it fools our body and so on, but of all things, we started, I think, with that one, and then we went to worse ones. So how in the world? Now we realize it wasn't as bad as the rest anyway. I'm not a big fan of any of these, but...
saccharin and stevia are the two. If you're going to have to take something, don't take the others, the Splenda, and certainly not the NutraSweet.
Oh, absolutely never.
Yeah, well, I've heard stevia is actually fine. They've, thousands of years or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, stevia is a plant. They've used it in Brazil and Japan. It's approved there. Thousands use it there. And, of course, we don't even hear about it here because they won't let them label it so that you can't find an alternative to aspartame. This is NutraSweet, see? So the politicians got a hold of this, and, of course, this is what they did, is don't let us know about it. So.
Okay, we're going to have to let you go, Nelson, because we've got Ricardo in Chicago. Hi, Ricardo. How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
Fine. Got a quick question. We're almost out of time.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about bottled water. Is it safe to drink bottled water, or is it, there's a special kind that maybe we should buy here in the city of Chicago?
Well, I'm real big on bottled water. I have a new e-book out, The World's Best Water, In Search of the World's Best Water. You can find it online at AskBillSardi.com. I don't need to sell you a book, but yes, use bottled water. Usually the European waters are better, have more minerals and so on, and are a better choice for it.
But make sure that it doesn't have any fluoride added.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No fluoride
added. Have any fluoride.
Right. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks very much, Ricardo.
And thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, then. Thank you, Bill. It's been a real pleasure, as always.
Great to be with you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening has been Bill Sardi, and he has a fascinating amount of material, and believe me, everything he says, he has the documentation from multiple medical sources, and he spends more time reading the medical journals than most doctors that I know. So you can take the material he has, go to his website at AskBillSardi.com, or of course Survival Vitamins or Longevinex. They're all up there, and some of these products, some of the selling products, but AskBillSardi.com. Longevity.com doesn't sell you anything. It gives you access to a tremendous amount of information that you really need to know to build up your personal health. Now, we do carry a wonderful book along that line. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and it's written by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then, of course, we carry a four-tape set of my interviews with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Secrets. And if you want to read, fine, a great book. You want to get the four-tape set, great four-tape set, or you can get them both together. But see, I think that there's so much information you need to know to actually protect your health. It's been known for a long period of time that if you drink a lot of milk, why, your incidence of prostate cancer goes up, and that has been actively suppressed in the country by the dairy industry. The last thing they want you to know is the relationship between certain foods and milk, and, of course, the rising, skyrocketing incidence of cancer. But you're not going to hear this from most sources. So let me suggest the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, the four-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets. And then, of course, to really get into the background of how they're poisoning you with fluoride in the water, why you need to get the book, The Fluoride Deception. If you want to know what they've done to our children with the vaccines, everybody has to have vaccines. We're here to help. We don't want children dying of disease. Well, we had 46 children die of measles the very year they brought in the measles vaccine. And then when we started giving the MMR vaccine, why, the incidence of autism skyrocketed. And, of course, we know that there's a very definite relationship between autism and the mercury and the vaccines, which they say they've taken out. But how do we know? Can we trust them? They've left it intentionally in the influenza vaccine. And then they were telling parents, if you love your child and they're 6 months of age, you take them down and get that shot. Why would they do that? You need to read the book, Evidence of Harm. Evidence of Harm, it's a heartbreaking book, as it tells the story of the families that their lives have been destroyed because their children became autistic, and they weren't born autistic, they were born normal, and they made all of their normal periods of advancement, and they walked at the right time, and they talked at the right time, and they went in and got their shots, sometimes six different shots in one day, with massive doses of toxic amounts of mercury. I mean, up to 100, 150 times the maximum allowable amount of mercury. And then they quit talking, and they quit walking, and they started beating their head against the wall. You need to read the book, Evidence of Harm. It'll break your heart when you understand what's happening. And it's not that the people at the CDC didn't know. They did know. I've been to the CDC. I've talked to these people. And some of these people have an entirely different worldview than you and I do. And some of the people in the upper echelons of organized medicine, not the average doctor. The average doctor would do anything in the world to help his patients, but he just doesn't know, because he's certainly not going to get a lot of this information either from the Centers for Disease Control, the Federal Drug Administration that has some of the finest scientists that money could buy, and then, of course, from the NIH, where so many of the scientists there are on retainers from the drug companies, and they're threatening to quit if they're asked not to take these large payments from the drug companies to make their decisions. Because, after all, they said, you don't think we're dishonest, do you? Well, when you're getting $500,000 a year, I think that might color your opinion. Maybe $500,000 over a couple of years. Anyway, if you haven't read the book The Drug Companies by Marcia Angel, well, you need to get that as well. And, of course, Pray for America, Pray for Revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, our number 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. It's going to determine what the future will bring, and I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line, Tal Brook, certainly another one of my favorite guests. And Tal, many years ago, had written a book called When the World Would Be as One. And that was a bestseller. Sold a couple of 100,000 copies. How many copies of that book were sold,
Tal? Over 100,000 for sure.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. That puts it into an bestseller list. And then more recently, he's redone the book, added a great deal to it, and it's come back called One World. And Tal is certainly one of the people who really has a grasp of what's going on, not only from a geopolitical point of view, and certainly as far as all the various organizations we talk about, but also from the spiritual point of view, because he comes at this from a personal point of view. He actually was part of the New Age, part of the occult movement. He was being trained to be Sai Baba's disciple here, to lead the movement here in the United States. And but of course, a couple of Christian missionaries or a Christian missionary got to him and began talking to him, and eventually came to accept the Lord. But he understands of the truly supernatural forces that are out there on the other side, aligned against freedom, and of course aligned against our way of life. So pick up the story there, Tal.
Well, I told you I had a number of rude shocks. I mean, I had gone to India, oh geez, thinking I would be enlightened, if you can believe that. And I had had a number of sort of mystical experiences, and at the time went to the University of Virginia and then went to India. I had, of course, tried LSD and met some of the key sort of inner circle New Age luminaries. And, of course, that whole worldview, you know, believes that good and evil are relative and there's no ultimate evil. So it's kind of like naive liberalism, but with extra horsepower. And a number of years later in India, I got converted, having left this so-called God man who I fully believed and believed was demonically possessed. And in a South Indian hotel room, I bend over and give my life to Christ. And I grew up in an atheistic family. I thought most Christians were idiots. But I had seen too much from the missionaries, and I had read the New Testament, and on every level it just rang completely true. And then after that awakening, you know, you cast back at what's happening in the world, in history, and you think, my gosh, this really is a battle, certainly between the forces of good and evil, between God and the devil, frankly. And then you look at the different sort of overviews, glimpses of history you get in the New Testament. And I think I've told you that coupled with that was that when I was in Bombay on a return trip to India, frankly, to spy on the guru, I came across a book that really talked about how a global order was going to be put together, and I can hear the music in the background, using among major pieces international banking and creating global debts that countries have to jump when they owe more than they are worth. You understand what I'm saying.
Well, of course, I think what most people have really missed totally is the spiritual component to this whole financial movement. We're going to be back in just a moment with Tal. You'll be fascinated. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tal Brook. and of course Tall Book, when we're talking about the implications as you begin looking and studying, and you begin to see all these little dots out here, none of them make any sense. I mean, we hear about this group and that group and the other group and communism and socialism and humanism and Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission, the Masons, the Theosophists, and on and on and on, and you get so confused. And then you hear about banking, and of course, Tall was beginning to say that he began to see that there was behind this whole world banking movement. They were certainly part and parcel of this whole spiritual effort, this truly spiritual effort to bring about this one world government. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what, you know, years ago I read the same book you did, Tragedy and Hope by Ivy League professor Carol Quigley, who was the mentor of Bill Clinton at Georgetown University. He'd also taught at Princeton and Harvard. He lets the cat out of the bag and basically said that among the highest circles, among the greatest powers to unify the world, apart from war and other things like the media, but really the motive power in the great game of nations is the flow of money. That's the secret of the whole thing. It goes back to Babylonian fractional reserve banking, interest rates that grow staggeringly over centuries. And so you got to have nations in debt. And that's what this whole thing is about. That's what the Federal Reserve was about. That's why the bankers were behind the people that were pushing for the Federal Reserve. You remember the players. We both do. And so this is just a glimpse backstage at the great forces of history. I mean, right now, what do we hear every other day about America's vast, staggering national debt? It can't go on forever. So people sort of like children look at, you know, Greenspan, chairman of the Federal Reserve, like he were God, the great magician. Well, he represents other people, but these are very big forces in the same identical banking stuff is happening in Europe. It's the same thing. And as I said years ago, I personally believe the mortar out of which the great Masonic Temple of World Order will be built certainly has to be this money-debt equation. But, of course, behind it, then you find the same players end up at the same parties wearing the same masks. I mean, that's, and we've talked about this before, the staggering insight in Eyes Wide Shut, the final movie, you know.
Hold that thought there, for we'll be back in just a moment here with Tall Book. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening, Tall Book. We're basically talking about how these ideas of banking go all the way back to ancient Babylon, and of course with banking comes this amazing power, and Tall recognizes the fact that there are these spiritual forces. This is not simply all business. This is not simply a matter of making money. Although I'm sure for many people it is, but there's also a spiritual component among the leaders of this. And then he was referring to a movie that came out by Stanley Kubrick shortly before he died. In fact, he died before this movie was ever put on, because, of course, it was too close to the truth. It was called Eyes Wide Shut. And what's the significance of that movie?
Well, Kubrick was a real pioneering revolutionary, and he was a real genius as a director. And people who know him figure that he went to Bohemian Grove and he went to some of the identical things in upstate New York. And really the whole point of Eyes Wide Shut is, if you think it's about sex, you're a kitten brain. It's not about that at all. It's about the alien the difference, the vast, staggering gulf between the ordinary man on the street and this elite group who really run the nations and the corporations and handle the really big money of the world. That's his whole point. And his point is, okay, you in your living room glimpse at the gods of this world, and they're certainly not reverent, God-fearing, God-loving people of high moral character. Because you see a human sacrifice in the movie, and they're wearing masks, and it's basically, we're dealing with demonic worship at this point, devil worship. And Kubrick, it's a real shocker. And that Kubrick is throwing a very fast ball at the people watching his movie, and he's saying, "Wake up! Your eyes are wide shut, idiot! Wake up!" And of course, people can read certainly biblical descriptions about great powers of evil, people, personages that come into power in the world and do terrible things, and yet they can't quite believe in their age it could be happening. Kubrick is saying these people behind the scenes are very different from their public PR persona. Don't be naive. So, I mean, that's it. And, of course, another movie that was similar on a lesser scale was Rosemary's Baby, which you remember.
Sure. And I think it's really so interesting that those people who've been to the meetings at the Bohemian Grove will describe the people there wearing their cloaks and hoods. People who've witnessed some of the secret ceremonies of Skull and Bones require them wearing their cloaks and hoods. You know, people find this doesn't really happen in real life. Yes, it does.
It sure does.
In fact, both of our presidential candidates in the year 2004 came from Skull and Bones, and they're in there. And the people who have actually witnessed their ceremonies describe them with their cloaks and hoods.
Correct.
Just exactly as you saw in the movie. And Stanley Kubrick, he died before that movie was ever put out. What did he die?
2 weeks. Well, you know, it's weird because basically Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman were sequestered on his estate in England. Now, I was over in London at the time, getting ready to speak at Cambridge University, as you know I occasionally do to oik you, to kick you. And I had been reading the London Times sort of with its gossip about this mysterious movie that Kubrick was doing with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise out there. And the next thing that I got, just a few weeks later, he had finished the film and he had mysteriously died. And you think, yeah, it's too reminiscent of the very dark forces that he was trying to describe that this sort of thing would happen. And it's like, you know, the devil's payday. Okay, you blew the whistle one time too much. You're not going to wake up.
And I think that people find this so difficult to believe. We've got some wonderful videos you've never seen. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3, the 4, the 10-hour version. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, oh, sure. We've actually distributed some of those things.
What do you think of that?
One of the ones I'm thinking of, and I'm trying to remember the name of the producer, he's kind of a friend of mine, but I've gone blank. He's really done his homework. And, again, the one I'm thinking about, it'll take me a second to remember, and I think it's similar to what you're mentioning. He does an elaborate sort of backgrounding of these groups and their enormous influence on the generations.
And of course, people don't understand the influence of Marilyn Manson and Ozzy Osbourne. And of course, of the Beatles. And, you know, so many of these, the Led Zeppelins, they were all into Satanism. They were all Crowleyites. And Crowley, of course, was a Satanist.
Yeah.
He was the leading Satanist.
I talk about him in One World in the book. I've written about him a number of times. He was a very bizarre creature. He was certainly the sort of person who would have shown up at one of Kubrick's parties had he been alive.
Well, why don't we just, before we go on, because I always forget to actually get your telephone number and your website out there, because Tal does a wonderful job getting material out, and he puts out some beautiful magazines and a regular newsletter, and it's one of the best sources of information you're going to find. How can people get your website? How can they get your information?
Okay, it's going to be pretty simple. The website is going to be quite simple. Www, of course, they all have that dot, SCP, Sam Cat Peter, SCP-Inc., for Incorporated, INC, .org, for organization, www.scp-inc.org.
Now, are you going to tell them what SCP stands for?
Spiritual Counterfeits Project.
Spiritual Counterfeits Project.
Yeah,
Project.
That's
Spiritual
too
Counterfeit
much,
Project.
Yeah, too much of a mouthful. Put it on our website. It's just SCP. And the phone number, a lot of my gang are having final exams at UC Berkeley, but call us anyway. Leave a message if enough of us aren't here, but it's 510-540-0300. And
that's 510-540-0300. And,
yeah.
And the material, I can recommend it. It's very well done. And it will give you simply an expansion of so much of the material we talk about. But Atal, of course, is coming at this from exactly the same point of view, but has access to so much information from all over the world.
Yeah, we have to. What we've got to do is kind of limit it. Someone, now and then, the media drill us with information when something happens. And often we know we have a lot about it. But sometimes you say you get challenges from people, why don't you write about this, that, and the other? And I say, you know, we're like a rural fire service that can serve maybe six counties. And if there are 300 fires on the scape, but 12 of them are critical, we've got to put our stuff into that. You know what I'm saying.
Right. And, of course, you've got some great material on one of my favorite villains. That's Helena Petrovna Blavatsky.
You got it.
And, of course, she was originator of the Theosophical Society. You can go up on the Internet, and you can get all sorts of links to on theosophy. They are just plain old-fashioned, ordinary, everyday, that run Luciferians.
Well, right? Actually, we're featuring that again, believe it or not. I'm the next... You, of course, are slated to get it, but the next journal should go to press soon, and one of the major articles is on going into Gnosticism over a number of centuries, and we end up close to the end of that. It's a two-part thing, but with her starting the Theosophical Society with a picture of her.
I'll tell you what, she had the most evil eyes I ever saw.
She almost
looks as bad as Putin does.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Scary figure, but I mean, the thing is, and again, look, she's part of the symphony of the uncountable number of assembly of privileged and bright people who are steering world history. You know where they're steering it, into the world order.
And of course, people don't understand, this is where Margaret Sanger got her inspiration. This is where Adolf Hitler got his inspiration.
Yep.
This is where Saran got his inspiration. Thomas Edison, Arthur Conan Doyle, William Stead, so many of the movers and shakers of our society in modern times. Of course, they were all disciples of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, and most people have never heard of her.
Well, what happens, they run into the ideas, but they don't know where it comes from. I know when I read, before I went to India, I was reading Edgar Cayce like crazy, and I'd gotten a number of theosophical books, and by the time I went to India and lived there, I thought it was fairly simple stuff, because I was reading really heavy-duty Indian stuff from Shankaracharya and Patanjali and a lot of other heavy-duty people. And what they did was they sort of boiled it down to the simple substrates for the American and Western consumer. But it was the old mystery mysticism, that, you know, coming ultimately out of the heart of Babylon.
And this is what people don't really understand. This has been around for 5,000-6,000 years.
Yeah.
It really goes back to the Garden of Eden. But there have always been these mystery schools. There's always been the secret societies. That they've always been guided by one thing, and that is an intense hatred of the God of the Bible.
Yes.
And this desire to create a one-world government and to create a one-world religion that they and their descendants would ultimately rule.
Yeah, now that's the point, because part of the transition we're in, and it's part of it is with political correctness guiding people's thinking, and the goal of Blavatsky and Theosophy, the goal of Teilhard de Chardin, the Jesuit priest of the Catholic Church, is to create a giant pillar, a one-world faith that's essentially mystical, and you can dishonestly embrace all the faiths so they get rid of what they call fundamentalisms. That's what's going on right now.
And they're sure doing a good job of it.
They're doing a very good job. Yeah. That's what the United Religions Initiative has been doing. And you will be seeing Lee Penn's 500-page book on the URI in the up-and-coming journal.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll certainly look forward to that. And ladies and gentlemen, it's so important that you understand that this is a worldwide movement. It's infiltrated the Catholic Church. It's infiltrated the Jewish religion. It's infiltrated the Protestant religion. Everything's changing. We're in a state of transition. You better understand what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, of course, is Tal Brook. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we carry a couple of Tal's books. One is The Avatar of Night, which, of course, is the story of his life there, his association with Sai Baba. And then, of course, his other book, One World, which is an expansion of When the World Will Be as One. Now, much more extensive, all sorts of pictures. Great book. Will give you tremendous insight into what's really going on behind the scenes, within the shadows, and the things that will never be talked about on your major television programs, on your major radio programs, in Time or Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report, because they are all part of the problem. They are violently anti-Christian in their message. Did you ever wonder why they're always putting out articles on Christianity, always aimed at undermining the Christian faith?
Yeah, every time. Oh, boy.
So go ahead, Tal.
Well, no, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think there's no doubt that we live in an incredibly, heavy transitional period. And I just feel it speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. And, I mean, there's so many aspects to this thing. I mean, another aspect about it is that a healthy, virile Christian America must be absolutely destroyed. So what's happening now is a big barn burning. Let's get the U.S. dollar and put it on a huge burn, which is happening as they print heavens like monopoly money, balefuls of worthless dollars that are plummeting in value, not backed by gold or anything. It's a confidence trick. And we were warned about this, and it's happening. The dollar is shrinking. You're being robbed and you don't know it. And, of course, it's happening through national debt, and they're not backing up these dollars. So it's part of America's being clobbered financially and morally through the toxins of television and movies on so many levels that we probably will not remotely resemble what we used to be. And in this regime, it continues. Certainly the war in Iraq is costing hundreds of billions. It's demoralizing. We're learning more and more. For instance, the Niger document, you may or may not know, it turns out to be a forgery at the Pentagon, which was the original reason that George Bush declared war in Iraq, that they had supposedly tried to buy atomic, you know, uranium in the Niger, and that's all a lie. And so, and then you get a neoconservative like Richard Perle saying, well, the real reason, you can see him shifting his cigar, we went there was to spread our values, you know, and hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians have been slaughtered. Spreading our values, sure we are. And like we saw in the Abu Ghraib prison where the girl has got the lasso around the guy's neck in the nude, yeah, we're spreading our values, all right.
Well, of course, what we're really doing by releasing these films, and certainly this most recent expose of what went on to Guantanamo, we're really antagonizing the whole Islamic world, and we're doing everything we can to discredit our government and discredit the Christian way of life.
Yeah, this is what we used to stand for.
Right. And I think people are becoming disillusioned. They don't understand.
Well, they are, because their constitutional rights have been absolutely flushed.
Hold that thought for just a minute as we begin to pick up our stations from all across America and bring them right online here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we're talking to Tal Brook, and Tal Brook, we're actually talking about what's happening today as America is in a transition period from freedom as we move towards fascism. And, of course, Tal's point is they intend to destroy us, not only morally but economically. And right at the present time, they have massive the printing of useless money, and the more money they turn out, well, the less valuable your money is. All you need to do is look at the history of any nation that has gone into a fiat money system. They have all eventually collapsed. And people say it could never happen here. And I would like to ask, first of all, why it happened. Time and time and time again, you go in my Encyclopedia Americana, I was reading it just today on money, and they pointed out that every money, fiat money system ever created throughout all time has collapsed, and ours is on the verge of collapse. You don't have to believe me. Listen to Paul Volcker. He wrote a wonderful article on the 10th of April of this year, basically saying we're skating on thin ice, and there's just no way this can continue, and he doesn't think they're going to solve the problem. What needs to be done is always put off till later, and then, of course, it's too late. So if you're out there in the listening audience, understand that there is an organized effort to destroy this nation, the last bulwark of Christendom, and, of course, when this nation is gone, then there will be no bulwark against the establishment of the New World Order, the New World Religion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Volcker, by the way, was the former head of the Federal Reserve. Right?
Right, he was. In fact, he was the man who did what was right back in 1980, raised the interest rate to 20%, and brought this whole inflationary spiral to a stop.
Well, it may happen again, and you may remember the crash when the real estate bubble burst, when it happened then, because real estate plummeted when he did that. People who were just they had so much debt that when anything, when it went up even fractionally, all the different dominoes went flying, and they lots trillions were lost in real estate.
And
they're predicting the same thing.
I agree. It's going to happen again. It's not a matter of if, but when.
It's going to happen.
And
you know what's interesting, though? I mean, speaking of destroying America, I just found a quote from Kennedy, who spoke so eloquently and specifically against, listen to this, he said, "What kind of peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana enforced upon the world by our weapons of war." And do you know something right now? That's exactly what's happening under the cabal of neoconservatives in the Pentagon.
Right, we want to force our values on everybody in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a quote out of the Washington Post by Pearl that said exactly that.
Right. Well, let's go to Rick, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Rick. Where are you calling from in Texas?
Fort Worth, Dr. Stan.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead. Do you have a question for our guest, Tal Brook?
Yes, please. Your guest mentioned that several different religions were trying to create one world religion.
No, I didn't say the religions were. I said different groups are trying to make this happen, and the United Religions Initiative happens to be one of them. The Theosophists were trying to do it when I lived in India, and I tried to syncretize the world faiths myself.
Mm-hmm. I had a question, especially concerning, are the Baha'is involved in this?
I think by default they are, simply because they're, by definition, they're sort of the Unitarians of mysticism.
And really, the Baha'i faith wants to unite all faiths. And
yeah, so Baha'u'llah, that was his whole game.
And, of course, they are simply the sort of the prototype of what will be coming down the line.
Yes, and I know from family, my sister married one, we didn't know what it was. And I know he's viciously anti-Christian.
Yes. Right.
And so
it's so lovey-dovey on the surface and all-inclusive, but you look at the finer print, they're not remotely inclusive.
Exactly.
You've got to go out the window. No exclusive gospel is going to be allowed.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, fine.
You got it.
Thank you much for calling, Rick. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, our local number is area code 831-464-8295. That's 831-464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is certainly one of the best informed people I know in the entire country. Tal Brook, of course, of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. Fortunately, he's right here in California, and Tal is good enough to come onto our program.
I love going on with you, Stanley.
Right, well, we always love having you. Anyway, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and invite your calls from out across America, from out across the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Tal Brook, and right now we've got Bert calling from Carmel. Is this Bert?
Bert.
Who is it?
Bert.
Bert, okay, go ahead, Bert.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. I have a question for Tal.
Go ahead.
Tal, I don't know if you heard anything about this or not, but during the this tragedy with the Terry Schiavo event,
right.
I understand that during an interview with Mr. Schiavo, her husband, he was filmed in his office with a large photograph of Sai Baba.
Interesting.
Behind him.
I didn't know, but I wouldn't be surprised because his lawyer, whose name I've forgotten, he's a snaky sort of guy, is definitely kind of a growing mystical, you know, writer. He's... the lawyer who kept appearing saying, oh, she's so happy she's dying, you know, his lawyer, is definitely heavily into mysticism. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the most interesting things and tragic things was that we saw so often on television as she is being starved to death and dehydrated to death,
yeah.
The picture of the husband leaning over her, and of course she looks so good. Now, the impression that the American people had were those pictures were taken as she's there in the process of dying, and her husband is there ministering to her, looking so concerned. Those pictures were taken months or years
before. Yeah, they're not honest pictures at all. You're exactly right.
Basically, he would not allow pictures in. Her eyes began to sink into the sockets, the cheekbones began to sink in, her color turned gray, she's being starved to death.
That
would
right.
have been a horrible picture, but you see, we couldn't allow the American people to know that we were killing this woman.
That's right, and they do the same thing with abortion, of course.
Right.
It covers every level. The lawyer is named George Fellows.
Right.
That's his name, and that's, you know, Schiavo's lawyer.
And I think what people have to understand is this whole movement has its roots in the occult. Dr. Kevorkian, who was up there
he's Michigan, part of the Pantheon, and Fellows has now filled his position.
Right, but the thing is that my friend Constance Cumby, of course, was a lawyer who was involved in lawsuits with him, and he had actually thrown away his copies of the writings of Alice Bailey, and of course she got them out of the garbage. Of course, he was afraid somebody would find them, so he threw them all away, and all these books, at least one book, one of Alice Bailey's writings, and she was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky's, and there it is all annotated in the margins. And so, of course, this was brought up at the trial, and of course, Kevorkian was furious that this was pointed out that he was deeply involved in the occult, and the roots of all of this is so obviously in the occult, and this is never brought out in the controlled media.
No, absolutely right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're just talking about the occult connections of the euthanasia movement in here, this effort to kill people whose lives are deemed to be not worth living. We have Bert calling us from Carmel. Bert, you have anything else you want to ask?
Just to close up, yes, that Beth Schiavo incident, there was something hellish about that that I believe people sensed that weren't even Christians. I believe they sensed the hellish nature of that whole event. And Tal, listening to you and Dr. Stan speak is one of the most fascinating and informative hours I could ever imagine. Please come back soon.
Oh, very encouraging. Have you read my book, One World?
No, but I sure will soon.
We carry that, and we carry that in the Avatar of Night. They're both excellent.
That thing has a lot of stuff in there, trust me.
Well,
it'll
sir,
keep you up.
God bless you, and may God also protect you in these dangerous times we live in.
Yeah, please do keep both of us in your prayers.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Believe me, it keeps us going.
Believe me, we're on the front lines of this, and the dark forces aren't very happy. The one thing they fear more than anything is exposure.
That's right.
God bless and thanks. Well, let's go to Sherry, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Sherry. What part of Michigan are you in?
Southfield. It's a suburb of Detroit.
Okay, fine. Well, then you're listening to us on our Christian Broadcasting Network outlet. Out there?
Well, 1500, yes.
Right, okay, 1500 there on the dial in Detroit, and fortunately we have stations there, and both in Chicago, pardon me, in both Detroit and in Flint, Michigan. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. I've been in the peace movement for many years, and when this happened to Terry Schiavo, I was very, very upset, and I was surprised that Tom Harkin was probably the only prominent Democrat that seemed to care. And a friend of mine, he was just upset with me just now because he said that all across the country this is happening to a lot of other people, and he was screaming at me just now, and he says, how come if George Bush and Jeb Bush and all these other people cared about Terry, how come they don't care about what's happening to all the other people? And I said, well, they do care. And I said, I care, everybody cares. And he said, well, there was a little black baby that was allowed to die because a mother and father, I guess, didn't have enough money to keep it alive, and the doctors said they had no hope, but the mother wanted to keep it alive, so Bush passed a law saying that they would have 10 days to take it to another place, and nobody else would probably have taken it, so she just let the baby die. So my friend was screaming, and he's just so angry, and he feels that I'm a hypocrite, and I'm not. And he said, if you're not a hypocrite, then get on and do all the things you were doing to help Terry Schiavo for all the other people. And I said, hey, I said, I'm only one person. I made phone calls. Nobody listened to me. So my question is, you know, we did so much in the peace movement. Now you're seeing bad things happening now between us and North Korea. And it just seems like with all the efforts that people put forth, it doesn't seem to help. What can we do?
I've provided an overview of what you're trying to grapple with in my book, One World. And it covers a lot of different things from a lot of territory that would probably help you figure this out.
Well, can I ask you, why doesn't the president and Jeb Bush and a lot of other people, why don't they care about the people who, you know, like my friend was upset about, the little black baby who was...
Well, I mean, right now, there are literally hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians have been slaughtered. And keep in mind that you don't know Bush personally. You haven't sat down with him for years in the inner sanctum, so you don't really know who this man is. And this is true with most politicians. They may look honest and nice, but you don't know the interior of their soul.
I don't think that they care, but it seemed like he cared about Terry, but I don't think he cared about all the other people.
Well, we can speculate forever. And I think that we're a million miles from some of these people. But you look at their actions, and that tells you something. And sadly, under Bush, the ship of state has been foundering at a terrible rate, starting with the loss of our civil rights through the Patriot Act, God-given rights that we've had for 200-plus years. A lot is going on that's very disturbing. He's great at smiling and looking wholesome and encouraging people.
Also, I attended lectures of the Theosophical Society and the secular Jewish temples. Could you please tell me why you feel that they are hateful against God?
Well, I think we're wandering all over the map here. I think probably we need to go on.
Well, let me just come, Sherry, could I suggest that you read The Secret Doctrine by Madame Blavatsky? Read her writings, and you'll find out she was a Luciferian. And these people
that will be over her head, Stanley. I think if she reads One World, it'll make more sense.
Or read One World,
then
you get The Secret Doctrine. Or read my book, get One World,
Brotherhood of Darkness,
and Brotherhood of Darkness. Read those two, and you'll put it all together.
Yeah,
okay?
She won't.
What is your guest's name again?
His name is Tal Brook.
Brook.
We carry his book, One World, and if you read his book, and you read my book, they overlap a great deal, but you'll really understand what's wrong with Theosophy, because I have a section on Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and what she reads, what she says, and then you don't have to read all of her books. You just go to the areas of her books. We have, and you get the references, you know which pages to go to, and find out what these people really believe. They talk about wonderful things, but that's not the way they feel. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Also, I apologize to have to ask you this. I know what you just said before, but I don't understand why it's so bad for people to watch John Edward, and if he has been proven by universities to legitimately be able to...
Yeah, we're wandering all over the map here.
Okay. I know, but
you're very confused. I think you need to read those two
books. It's been proven by university that he really does communicate, and he really does know what's going on. So why is it so dangerous and so bad?
Now, who is you're speaking of?
John Edwards is a channeler, and basically the Bible says if you traffic with someone who's a medium, you're going to take on their curse. It's a terrible... You don't know John Edwards personally. He's very charismatic, but there's also a possibility that he's doing cold reads, and we don't have time to go into cold reading right now.
But I think, Sherry, what you're doing is dabbling with the dark side. So get the books.
You sound very confused.
And then, of course, you'd be able to, I think, to we could discuss it with you. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
And let's go to Tom calling from Ohio. Hi, Tom. Do you have a question for our guest? Tom, are you there? I guess, did we lose Tom?
Yeah, probably did.
All right. So let's see. Now, oh, now, maybe this is Tom. Is this Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Tom.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, do you have a question?
I wanted to tell you some of the most important parts of your program had been cutting out.
Right.
And it went to just like static for a few minutes.
well, maybe those are the gremlins.
Okay. I wanted to ask, I hope I'm not getting all over the map with this.
Now, are you listening on shortwave or internet?
Shortwave.
Okay.
My question is, what's the gentleman's name?
His name is Tal Brook.
Tal Brook.
Brook, B-R-O-O-K-E.
Brook.
But you want to get his book, One World. It's an excellent book.
How much is it?
Oh, I don't know. It's $12.95.
What is it? More than that. I think it's about $15.95.
All right.
Dr. Stan?
You have to call an 800 number.
I know the number, Doctor.
Okay.
I wanted to ask this question before we run out of time.
Sure.
About the letter from Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini.
All right, let's see.
In 1878.
I know all about it. It's the one that was in the British Museum that predicted three world wars.
Do you have a copy of that?
I've been looking for it for years. I've been in the British Museum, and the last thing that I heard, Guy Commander Carr, a former Canadian intelligence, cited that in his book. He claimed to have seen it, and what happens with embarrassing documents, what do you think happens? They go through the royal shredder, and so they lost the thing or someone took it. That's what I'm getting.
And the closest we could come to it was my friend Des Griffin, and of course the man who ended up with Commander Carr's papers was going to have a meeting with Des, and about a week before they were to meet, why he mysteriously died.
This is typical.
Okay, but that's all I can tell you. I don't know anybody who's seen the letter.
Pike, yeah, the Pike letter is replicated, and I quoted in one of my books. It's replicated in Guy Commander Carr's thing, and basically it's a whole, we would call it, Illuminist global plan for three world wars and basically controlling history.
Replicated to what accuracy?
How do you mean?
To the real letter?
Well, we hope it's a real letter.
We don't know.
Huh?
We don't know.
The thing is that I've never seen
it. It's an interesting
letter.
That's all I can say.
I mean, this is what's happened, but is it accurate? Is it a fraud?
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
We can't tell you.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Bye. And let's go to Evelyn, who's calling from Massachusetts. Hi, Evelyn. Are you listening shortwave or internet?
Shortwave. It's coming in very good.
All right, fine. Are we cutting out there?
No, you're not cutting
out.
All right,
I guess you don't have any gremlins. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I'm very fascinated with your guest.
Well, he's one of the smartest people that we have in the movement.
Oh, I can tell just by listening to him. I want to get his book and your book. Now, what's the number I call?
1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. His book. Well, he has two books. One is One World. That's
That'll be the one for her, I think.
Right.
Yeah, One World.
Right. And then, of course, mine is Brotherhood of Darkness.
Brotherhood of Darkness.
They work together.
Right.
Okay, keep it up. I'll be praying for
okay,
you.
Okay, bye. Thanks so very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jack, who's calling again from Michigan. Hi, Jack.
Hi there. I've always wondered, Tal, about the Jewish Talmud and how that figures into...
All right. That's a tough question. I'm going to let Tal do that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's another four-hour answer, and that we're getting into very perilous territory, but basically... it has its own sort of global eschatology. More relevant would be the Kabbalah than the Talmud. And the Kabbalah is kind of the basis of many mystical orders. It comes right out of Babylon, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, thank you very much. I have a friend who is dabbling in that, and he has gone through the Conversations with God and the Course in Miracles.
Yep.
So,
well, that's different, though, from the Kabbalah. Shukman was a Jewish atheist who channeled what she thought was the voice of Christ, but she never fully believed it. She was an odd bird, But the cabal is really of a different sort. It has its own global eschatology, and it may be the private belief of some of the heavy banking magnates.
Is this covered in your book, Tal?
Somewhat, but you got to walk very carefully in this one because there's a charge known as anti-Semitism that can stop anyone in their tracks.
Oh, boy.
Be smart.
Okay, thanks
Read
so much.
Read between the lines. Well,
thank you, though. Okay, let's go to Jeannie, who's calling from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
I'm just Andy, and Tal is one of my favorite authors. I have a question. How does the United Church of Christ fit into this?
Well, what's happened, good question, with just about all the mainline denominations over the last century is that they've been adulterated so they're ready for the big merger. That's all. It's happened with the Methodists. I mean, look, they're now battling, should we have lesbian cohabiting pastors run this church? And once you've lost the Word of God, once it's been adulterated so it no longer stands for anything through very faulty scholarship that's been misproven, anything goes. You may as well be a Hindu. Why even mess with they're weak? And this is why I went to India. I'd been to some liberal churches, and I thought, my Lord, they're not only intellectual lightweights, they don't know what they believe, they're mamby-pamby. Why don't they just get on and enter full Vedanta? Let's get into heavy mysticism. These people are lightweights. And what's happened with all the major denominations, they're having their annual meetings wondering when we can have a homosexual bishop or a gay priest or a lesbian priestess, and when can we start worshiping the goddess, and when can we start calling God she. They've lost, they're beyond blind guides. They're staggering, their brains are apoplectic. They've emptied their neurons out. There's nothing left. Sorry, Stan, I had to do it.
No, that's all right.
That's why I went to India. I mean, all the major denominations have just been completely denatured. And if you go to Grace Cathedral, I almost called it Gay Cathedral, but Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, you get one illustration of this. Or the Church of the Divine in New York City.
I mean, St. John of the
Divine. Sort of, yes, St. John of the Divine. And these are sort of flagship churches of where it's all going. Where they got Hindu gurus speaking, and then a Wiccan feminist speaking another night, and then some guy with an extremely sweet voice speaking another time.
And, of course, increasingly the Protestant church today, there's this move into mysticism.
Oh, right? Yeah, but they've lost everything. That was the thing.
Right. And
look, before I went to India, Stanley, you know, remember I grew up in an atheistic family, and all the Christians were mental cripples. Remember that. And I'd had LSD, and I went to this Episcopal church thinking, all right, I may as well check out the guy's wares, and I brought in a copy of Alan Watts's The Joyous Cosmology, and we started comparing notes, and I said, you know, you should get converted into what I'm telling you, because you really don't stand for anything. And he had no answers. His Adam's apple went up and down. He sort of dunked it, and he just looked at the book, The Joyous Cosmology, and had no answer. Lo and behold, I come back from India believing in the inerrancy of Scripture, and then we have a sovereign God who's the only true God there is. You don't flush the Bible down the toilet because, you know, some higher critic in Germany gives a bogus argument that's now disproven, of course.
And, of course, the thing is, everything is aimed at discrediting the Holy Scripture.
And it's in full force right now. I mean, you can evidence that in what? The Da Vinci Code, the biggest selling book in years, and it's a piece of garbage. It's certainly not reality.
But, of course, there's just enough truth there. In other words, they mix truth with
falsehood. Oh, sure they do. That's the oldest game in the world.
Right.
You know.
And, of course, yeah, now here you've got this Opus Dei, and you've got the Prior of Sion, and they throw in all these things, and the Templars and the Masons, and this great church over there, and where the story ends.
Yeah,
there,
but the real message of the Da Vinci Code was the early church obscured the truth, and Jesus, what, had a baby with
Mary Magdalene, right.
Oh, give me a break, you know.
But of course, you see, it's all done so subtly. Anything to discredit the Christian message. If they can destroy your faith, then of course...
And you're wide open for the big lie.
Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton said, you know, it's not when you disbelieve the Bible, you believe in nothing. You believe in anything. You believe in anything.
Anything.
Right. Anything else, Jeannie?
I just heard the United Church of Christ is adopting the Earth Charter, which is paganistic, so I have real concerns about that.
Well, I would be very concerned about it, too.
Thank you.
I mean, but you're telling me what we were just saying. The Earth Charter was, of course, partially put together by Gorbachev and some of his enviro people at United Religions Initiative. Bishop William Swing and Gorby helped that all happen.
And of course,
the Rio conference that Al Gore talked about, he got very excited about the Earth Charter.
And, of course, it is all anything aimed at destroying Christianity. That's what it's about.
And global control. It's thinking up a reason for world government, why all the nations have to give up their sovereignty. When that happens, watch out.
Thanks so much, Jeannie.
Yeah, I was very encouraged by your comment.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. We've got the last caller for the evening, and that's Mary from New York State. Where are you calling from, Mary? What part of upstate New York?
Oh, 30 miles from Niagara Falls.
Okay, very good. Then you must be listening on that big FM station up there.
I don't know. Not now. I got a computer hooked up.
Oh, great. Well, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I love his book, The World's One.
The world
will be as one. And of course, then you really want to get his new book.
One World is better than that one.
One World is a lot better.
Oh, One World is the latest?
Right. That is when The World Will Be as One with about 40% more
updated
pictures. Right.
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay, because I love your definition. Because I noticed that half the people that aren't willing to accept the gospel just are still trying to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps.
You're right.
You know,
they'll trust anything else.
Yeah.
Well, that's a standard thing. The skeptic that mocks out the Bible and he believes the channelings of Zontar.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a real quick question. I just heard, I've never thought about this before, but it's been put in front of me, that Jesus was probably a black Jew. Is that likely?
No, probably not.
He would have been more...
It would have been documented in the early church and really... If I understand what you're saying, I may be misunderstanding you, but I think he, for one thing, he was born through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so he would have fit in then and not been any different, frankly,
from the culture
at the time, is my guess.
And his mother came from Nazareth, which was not an area. They're Semitic, they're dark-skinned, but they're not black. So what they're doing is, they've got all these traps out there.
This is just more confusion.
Is this another diversion to get to the block? That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Okay,
yep.
Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you very much.
But
don't believe everything you read, please.
I didn't want to, but when a black person tells you about it, it's kind of like if you don't accept it, it's like you're putting them down too.
Well,
you know?
That's a game. That's a chess game, and that's inauthentic. I mean, basically... he would have had to have been a freak to come out a black as a Nubian child in the middle as the Messiah of people that are still basically white-skinned. So that's a moot point.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, fine. Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Parting thought, we're just about out of time, Tom.
Well, I mean, we have these parting thoughts every time, and they continue, and I think this time around... It's been a couple of months since we did it. Things are moving quick. We see the new Pope in office. We see the Da Vinci Code going. We see the national debt increasing. We see new reasons for the war in Iraq. We see the...
Hold that thought for just a minute. Okay, fine. Why don't you just sort of wrap up your thoughts there, Tal?
Yeah, well, basically... And then we see new reasons for the war, and all of a sudden we see the key figures in the Pentagon of the Pax Americana group, Wolfowitz now being rewarded with a World Bank job, and John Bolton being pressed hard to take up the big ambassadorship to the UN. So these people that were the dreamers of the Great War that's bleeding America dry are being massively rewarded. not to speak of payments from the Carlyle Group, you know, in Cheney's little Halliburton thing where he gets $1 million. I mean, this is all on the side, but it, America's being bled viciously right now, and the, sadly, the public is not hearing the truth from many quarters at all.
All we can do is continue doing
that. That's
the
all we can do. And by the way, we have a porous border, and meanwhile, 80-year-old grandma is being scanned at every airport terminal like she were a terrorist. Explain the double think. Do they have low IQs or whatever? Because the border, they're running across five abreast. I call it marijuana, but we'll call it Tijuana. They're running across the border, and meanwhile, good old American folks in Dallas and every other airport are being screened like they have no constitutional rights left. What's the game here?
It's all a matter of perception to try to make us think that we are really involved in a war on terrorism. We're out of time. Tal.
You got it. Great talking to you.
Thank you so very much. We'll talk to you soon again.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bless you. Well, bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Well, Tal Brook is certainly one of my favorite guests, and I hope he's one of yours as well. His book, One World and Avatar of Night, are both excellent. We certainly recommend them to you. We think that he has certainly a good grip of what's going on as anybody in the entire country. And besides that, he's loads of fun to talk to. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And if I could give a plug for my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and for the lady who called in, who didn't see anything wrong with channeling or with Madame Blavatsky, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, you need to read what she wrote. And, of course, we'll give you the pages, we'll give you the quotations, the pages. You can check it out and find out. And if anybody, of course, is worshiping Lucifer, I suggest you be very, very cautious of them. And we hope that our caller will check out the facts and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And you're either going to embrace the Luciferian religion or you're going to embrace Christianity. And I would suggest you seriously consider embracing Christianity because, well, I've been studying this thing for 43 years now. And the longer I study, the more convinced I become of the validity of the Holy Scriptures and that we truly face organized evil today on a scale never before imagined and really totally unimagined by most people today. People find it so difficult to believe there is an active organized conspiracy against God and against this country because at one time we were a Christian nation. And until you understand what motivates these people of great wealth, and let me suggest the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. That's they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. The videos, Megiddo 1, 2 1/4, very professionally done hours, and Megiddo 2, which is 3 hours, and I happen to be in that, talking about, of all people, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and the Georgia Guidestones at a cult center in Alberton, Georgia, where they call for maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. What they're really talking about is killing off over 90% of the world's population. These people know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what lies ahead. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.